Sports betting with BetOnline can be intriguing even if you're not a diehard sports fan. Beyond traditional sports, BetOnline gives you the options to bet on political events like the outcome of the presidential election, whether Hunter Biden will serve jail time before 2025, or who will be the next Republican speaker. Political betting allows you to wager on real-world events outside the realm of sports. Or if you are a diehard sports fan, BetOnline makes sports betting more accessible and convenient than ever before. With just a few clicks, you can place bets on your favorite teams or events from the comfort of your own home. BetOnline prides themselves on their higher-than-average betting limits of up to $25,000, and you can increase your wagering amount by contacting their player service desk by phone or email. So whether you're watching your favorite team or the news of the upcoming elections, why not spice things up with a friendly wager on BetOnline? Go to betonline.ag to place your bets today. Use promo code DAILYWIRE for a 50% instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000. That's betonline.ag and use promo code DAILYWIRE. BetOnline, the options are endless.
Skipping leg day is a lot like attending a liberal arts college and staying committed to your cheating girlfriend. In both cases, you are throwing your life away while also acting like a butter-soft simp who just hopes things will work themselves out. Like the former president, I have a major announcement. If you go right now to dailywire.com/shop, you can get your very own copy of the yes or no game. Look at this. We've got game pieces in here. We got a scorecard. We got cards. This is the real deal. We had an initial run of these. I think we had about 1,000 boxes of this game. They sold out instantly. And so, unfortunately, I think we would have sold 10,000 of these things had we had them in time for Christmas. You can't get it as a stocking stuffer, but you can pre-order your copy right now, and you should pre-order because I think these are going to sell out too. DailyWire.com/shop. You can play with up to 9 people, test how well you know your friends and family and loved ones, discuss all the most important issues of the day, debate, do aliens exist? What are the merits of vegan suffrage? What do you know about God, life, the whole universe? Head on over to dailywire.com/shop. Get your copy of the yes or no game in the flesh. In the box. I don't know, in the cardboard. We have in the flesh here my very good friend of many, many years.
Indeed.
Spencer Klavan. Yeah.
Hey, good to see you.
I'm glad you're finally on this show.
When you buy the games, does it come with the day drinking?
It does. You can. It's not required that you have a couple of Coca-Colas when you play the game, but you can, and I, for one, encourage it.
It enhances the experience.
It does enhance the experience. Yeah. We have our drinks. I have a bit of a girly drink. I actually think martini, it's a manly drink.
It's the James Bond drink.
It's the James Bond drink. It gets a bad rap because people put berries and things.
This is very important. Maybe this is like, you know, a side piece, but that is not a martini.
If you've got sugar
around the rim, you're serving something else.
Yes, that's not.
It's like a sex on the beach.
Now you have a delicious glass of scotch.
I do. I saw this troll on Twitter who said, it was like, you know, all these conservatives, they grow these beards to try to look manly. Because this is fake masculinity. And so I thought, I not only have a beard, I have whiskey neat at 2:30 in the afternoon. I am one of those manly conservatives you heard about.
That's right. Yeah. You know, 2:30 is usually when I go to the dentist. Okay, shall we begin?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Like porn, violent or graphic video games are bad for society and should be banned.
Ooh. There's a lot there. Of portions of that question. Violent or graphic video games. So I have to say whether you think that's true or not. I'm going to put you on the yes. I'm not sure. This is like a how based is Knowles question.
I know.
And you've got me on no. So now what happened?
I've got you on no.
Okay.
Conditionally, yes. You're right.
Okay.
And my answer, conditionally.
All right. I want to hear about the conditions, but first you have to drink, right? Or no?
Well, did I get you wrong?
Oh,
what's your answer?
No. You got me right. So I guess you
did. I did.
Get to
okay.
That. Okay. Yeah, very well.
So I say conditionally. It's a real margin call. Only because I do think that some video games can warp your mind. Like when I was playing Donkey Kong Country as a kid, man, that stuff had me messed up, okay?
You had misapprehensions about monkeys?
Yeah, I was walking around throwing barrels at people everywhere I went.
Nobody, yeah.
I never played a lot of video games, but I did get a kick out of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, sure.
It was so outrageous, right, and shocking. But when I was learning to drive, because I had played Grand Theft Auto a lot, where all I would ever do is I'd try to hit the guys on the motorcycle and make them fall off the motorcycle.
Yeah.
When I was learning to drive, there was a motorcycle coming down the road.
Okay.
And it all turned out okay. I had the impulse,
right, oh,
to veer in and hit him head on.
Oh, interesting.
Because I'd played this video game so much. And so I think,
wow,
in extreme cases,
uh-huh,
there should be some regulatory authority to set standards for video games.
Right.
But broadly speaking, like I wouldn't ban Call of Duty or something like that.
Yeah.
What's your take?
Okay. Well, somebody obviously knows me because they're trying to mess with me with this question. I mean, I am kind of known as a kind of video game optimist. I think they contain some of the great works of art of our generation. I think as fine art has dithered into abstraction and obscurity, you can actually turn on Final Fantasy and see panoramas unlike anything else that's being made. So all of that to say, I'm a total lib about this. And part of this, I think, is probably because my taste in video games is Crash Bandicoot, yeah, Fuzzy McFuzzerson defeats the evil dragon. And so I'm like, these are great. They're so beautiful. I'm having so much fun.
Because in Crash Bandicoot, you don't carjack hookers and shoot them, right?
I think you can get an expansion pack.
Okay.
It's like a skin. Yeah. You can reskin it. Well, no. And then I like God of War was one of my favorite games. And Gears of War. Everything is of war, but the Gears of War game. Yeah. And those are definitely, I wouldn't give them to a child, and I think there's a huge domain of parental supervision and engagement. It's one of those problems that goes way deeper than the thing that is the tip of the iceberg. It's the breakdown of society, the failure of the modern American family, the corrosion of our values, all of it, you'd have to rectify all of that before I would be and you also should ban the video. But I mean, movies, I definitely don't think, I think there should be some restrictions in place to make sure kids aren't playing Grand Theft Auto. I don't know. They do melt your brain.
So since we both got it right, we just chose to drink anyway.
Yeah, naturally.
Okay.
The glass is too appealing.
It's too appealing. And it's the other thing, I've really restricted my drinking on this show in some recent episodes because we shot the thing at 10 in the morning. And even for me, all right, even I am not that much of a degenerate.
Right.
All right, you're up.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I get to pick. Wow. I did not know this. Okay. Steven Crowder is right. One of the most overrated writers in history is Shakespeare. I did not know that Steven Crowder thinks this.
I had never said that. We pay no attention to facts on this show,
no,
so that may or may not be true. But I'll take them at this.
Just pick somebody. Jeremy Boring thinks that
that Shakespeare is the most overrated writer in history?
Yeah, it's a big claim.
I'm definitely
this is an easy one for me.
That would be a no.
That's a big no.
Has he ever heard of Toni Morrison?
I know Zora Neale Hurston. There's just a huge, that chick that wrote the poem at the inauguration.
Oh my goodness. I was in a bookshop the other day and I saw two collections of her poetry. What was her name?
I can't remember. Amanda Gorman.
Amanda Gorman,
I'm shocked at myself.
Where'd you pull that from?
No idea. Yeah. The things that I don't know because I know that is probably too depressing to think about. There's some line of poetry I've forgotten, but I know Amanda Gorman's.
I remember a line of literary criticism where the late, great literary critic Harold Bloom referred to slam poetry as the death of art. What's with the hate for Shakespeare? Why would anyone hate Shakespeare?
So I'm going to make the strongest possible case for this. I mean, because for one thing, it's impossible to be more highly rated than Shakespeare. Yeah. I mean, if you leave aside the woke crazies who he's a white man, whatever, he is kind of, his name is synonymous with literary excellence.
Yeah.
And I at least think that there are some other writers in the English canon, Milton, for instance, even if you're just restricting yourself to English language poetry, right? There's definitely other contenders for the throne of the great poet of English. And the other thing you could kind of adduce, as perhaps Crowder does, who knows, is that Shakespeare's reputation is kind of invented yeah. in the generations after his death by, you know, Johnson and Boswell and this, you know, those great who put him on the stage with like Aeschylus and he's our, you know, he's the English languages. But I don't know, man, you know, for God's sake, let us sit upon the ground and tell sad stories of the death of kings, how some have been deposed, some sleeping killed, some poisoned by their wives, all murdered. For within the hollow crown that rounds the mortal temples of a king keeps death his court. And there the antic sits, allowing him a breath, a little space to monarch eyes, be feared and kill with looks. And humored thus comes at the last, and with a little pin bores through his castle wall, and farewell, king. Cover your heads and mock not flesh and blood with solemn ceremony, for you have but mistook me all this while. I live with bread like you. Taste, want, feel, grief, need, friends. Subjected thus, how can you say to me, I am a king?
Remember, so Jew, good. Though justice be thy plea, consider that no.
Yeah, yeah,
I was more politically incorrect ones.
I was going to say, you're getting us banned even without the bad questions.
I'm just getting banned by reading Merchant of Venice.
Ultimately, when you're faced with a genius of that totality, which really, I mean, the language aside, his the completeness of his vision of human life, the capacity yeah. of it. I mean, we've been talking a lot about Dante lately, and I think he's maybe the person you could put next to Shakespeare yeah. for that just like totalizing vision of human life. It's got to come from one mind, and I have no, I've seen no evidence why it shouldn't have been Shakespeare. And if it was some guy named Bob, like what difference does it make?
Bob Shakespeare.
Bob, Billy, old.
I love yeah. when they say Shakespeare was actually, he was actually multiple people. And I think, yeah, because you know what produces really great art? Committees. Committees yeah. are known for their artistic vision and skill, right? All right, next question.
Yes.
I am more inclined to believe that the earth is flat than that bodies were recovered from Roswell.
Okay, after we answer this, we have to diagram.
Yes, so basically, I'm seeing many verbs and...
I'd like a lot, yeah, snaking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am trying to decide mm-hmm. whether you think it's more likely that the earth is flat than that bodies were recovered from mm-hmm. Roswell. Oh, this is actually really hard. I thought it was easy, and then it turned out to be hard.
Drink.
Hey, boy, oh boy. Okay, this is good. This is a good one. Once we rewrote,
I'll drink too, just in solidarity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I am much more inclined to believe in the flat Earth theory, since the Earth actually is flat for all intents and purposes.
This is Jonathan Peugeot's big thing,
this
right?
Is, here this is it. Owen Barfield's
yes.
point.
Yes. Okay. That was why I instantly went for, yeah. you know, and then I thought, actually, he's probably going to say that Owen Barfield. Yes, go on.
I also, like, demons exist. Aliens don't exist, but demons exist.
Right.
But they don't have bodies. The definition of an angel or a demon is that they're pure spirit.
Right, right, right.
So they didn't, whatever they found at Roswell or whatever, you know,
wasn't
Soviet spy planes or whatever, even if they found a demon, they wouldn't be able to grab his body. He doesn't have a body.
Right, right. But what about counter argument? What about what Beatrice says to Dante when he asks her whether the blessed souls really are on Venus or really right. are. She says, they showed themselves to you here not because this is their sphere, they all live in the Empyrean, right. but as a sign for you, since this is suited to your senses. And in this way, the Bible condescends, right, to speak of God as having hands and feet, but meaning yeah. something else.
Yes.
All of this to say, right, like couldn't, it might it be the case that although angels and demons don't have bodies.
They could appear to have bodies
exactly.
at Roswell.
Yes.
I suppose that's true. But I guess the way I picture that, because we entertain angels unawares.
Absolutely.
And I could give you examples where I'm quite confident this actually happened.
Please.
But I'll tell you,
yeah.
I didn't reach out and grab them. I kind of wonder if there really were demons or something, you know, at Roswell. Mm-hmm. The moment that the cops went out there to get him, it'd be like a bee ghost movie where they go grab them and they're just like, you know, they just kind of fall right in. Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, so was I was correct on the flat earth thing?
You were right.
You're more inclined to believe in the flat earth.
Well, but only... Is that what you said, that I'm more inclined to believe? Right. But only in this Owen Barfieldy way, which we should probably define since people are going to be watching us and asking, which is to say that the notion that there is a scientific theory of physical space that not that doesn't simply correspond to our perceptions, but actually outlines the bedrock of reality is heretical and a scientific fallacy.
Yes.
This is why, right, this is the problem with Galileo. It's not that he thinks the Earth revolves around the sun, it's that he thinks there is an answer to does the Earth revolve around the sun or vice versa, which reflects some absolute fundamental truth, which makes a fundamental truth physical rather than spiritual. Yes, okay,
yes.
So we're all
because that's what they say. Sometimes if people ask the Galileo question, they'll say, does the Earth revolve around the sun? And I'll say, man is the center of the universe.
Yeah.
They'll say, but you know, does the Earth revolve? In the best way I have of describing reality is that man is at the center of the universe.
That's right.
And they will say, no. Yeah, I get it. You're using some stupid metaphor talk. But like literally, objectively.
Yeah.
Say, well, literally and you're telling me that the fundament of reality is some stupid rock?
Right.
I mean, that's not true. Nobody really believes that.
Right. And it is, in fact, true, so far as I understand, that you can describe the universe as, you know, revolving around the Earth. I mean, it's just the equations are a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're more complicated doesn't mean that they don't actually describe, you know, they don't predict the outcomes of our observations.
Right.
That is all, like, it is a kind of a fiction, a pernicious fiction, that when we write math which predicts physical outcomes, we are somehow getting something more real than the experience, the quote-unquote subjective, which by which people usually mean arbitrary,
right?
Experience of the world as it occurs to our senses.
Right.
This is like a real problem. And so the argument that the Earth is flat is not that if you walked far enough, you'd fall off it, but that for your... in your experience of the world, it is flat. You don't have to account for its curvature as you walk. You can see it's, you know. So, yeah, I think that's true, although that's not what the conspiracy theory means.
I guess the conspiracy theory is also scientistic and is also referring to a physical. But yes, if someone said, Michael, well, the question that keeps coming up, what is a woman?
Right.
Is what is a woman? And unfortunately, the conservative answer keeps being, 2X chromosomes and a uterus.
That's right. Adult human female.
Female.
That's better than 2X chromosomes and a uterus.
Because, but you know the real answer.
Go on.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice. That's a much more accurate and descriptive answer.
It is. Yes. Yeah, I would say, you know, it's a two-legged rational animal, you know, of the female gender.
Right, like,
you know,
right.
And there is this problem, and this happens a lot, I think. It occurred to me just the other day that there's a certain form of biblical literalism, which is also scientistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start out with the true statement that everything in the Bible is true.
Yep.
And then you defend that statement by trying to claim that every word of the Bible corresponds to a physical event in space and time.
Yep.
Which, you know, again, if you chase this down, you get, like in the Psalms, you get the earth revolving around or you get the sun, rather, moving across the sky, revolving around the earth and so forth. And this is a con that the libs pull the traditionalists into, which is they say, like, oh, well, you can't prove, you know, show me on a map. And then our response is like, yes, I can show you on a map. It's the XX chromosomes. It's the whatever. And of course, the response should be, that's a completely childish and untenable view of the world, even according to science, right?
Yes.
Like, even once you get down to the quantum level, you realize that perception does have this, like, fundamental role to play.
Right. Describe a kiss.
Exactly.
Like, it's when these lips, which are made up of these atoms, kind of do this, like, it's like this thing, and then, like, maybe a little, like, a tongue, if you're French, kind of comes in.
Yeah, yeah, and then dopamine.
And then the dopamine surges,
right.
And then that's what a kiss is, right?
Of course. Okay, so it's my turn.
Up, yes.
Here we go. Okay. Okay, well, this is going to be easy. There's no possible way that a gym selfie could be considered an appropriate thing for a self-respecting man to post on Instagram. Well, you know my answer to this, but I'm not sure I know yours. We're going to spill a little bit of tea here, I think.
Are we going to pull out gym selfies?
That's right, yeah. They made me take away my phone for this. Okay, no possible way.
You're correct.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to drink anyway.
I choose to as well.
Okay, no, you are also correct, of course.
And I must have gotten this from you, so I guess it's sort of cheating, but when I think of arete, when I think of real excellence, okay, I think, yes, we can demonstrate our intellectual, we can demonstrate some virtues through acts of kindness and charity, but also we need to post physique is what we need to do, because the physical excellence matters too.
Yes, this is in one of the central chapters of my book, which I should probably talk about because I'm supposed to like publish.
I would plug
book.
That.
You know, I'll plug the book. It's called How to Save the West, and there's a whole section on the body and the relationship between body. So, and this is, it's a tricky thing because I accept the premise of the question, which is, if I were to rephrase it, I would say there's no possible way that most gym selfies that get posted are something that a self-respecting man would post on Instagram. On the other hand, we live in a culture where in order to break down every standard of objective excellence, we are constantly assaulted with ugliness.
Yes.
That is one of the major kind of means of our, I wouldn't even call it, leftist is almost too small a term for it. It's like the, my friend James Poulos calls it the Borg, right? It's this totalizing, out of control kind of sameness in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Proposes a Toast, he has a perversion of democracy, which is kind of reflected also in like de Tocqueville, that the total equalizing impulse that I'm as good as you, everything as good as everything else. Why are we constantly being shown images of obese women in their underwear, right?
Like that didn't used to be the case. I remember because I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And the Victoria's Secret billboards and the catalog, it'd have super hot chicks.
And
now it doesn't.
And the minute you say this, people say, you hate fat people.
Yeah.
Which is like, maybe. No. I don't hate fat people.
You got Michelle Obama over here.
Some
oh, my gosh.
Some of my best friends are fat. Yeah. but the point is not at all what is the range of things that's okay for a person to be.
Yeah.
The point is, what do we aspire to?
Yeah.
What are our images of excellence? And to deny that there's such a thing as physical excellence is corrosive and demeaning and belittling to people.
And just obviously not true.
Right.
We all know that it's not. I know, I say this as an international sex symbol. Let's recognize physical beauty and excellence where it is.
Exactly.
Okay. Did I read that one or you?
That was me. So
that was you. Okay, I read this one. America will not correct course and will cease to exist as we know it before 2050.
2050?
Yeah. Correct.
Drink.
All right. Go on.
You got think mine. I'm a pessimist about this?
Yes.
I think America is doomed?
Yeah, you're an editor at the Claremont Review. Goodness gracious.
Well, I know that pessimism is like a favorite pastime of the conservative movement. And I'm only saying no because of the absolutism of the prediction, which I reject out of hand. I think nothing is written in the stars until it happens. I also think, things could go terribly wrong. You can always see how things could go terribly wrong. But there's a ton of, energy and excitement also about recognizing the problem more than I think has been true in a long time. I'm not a determinist about anything. I think determinism is unmanly.
You know, I was wrong because I underestimated your optimism. You were right because you overestimated my optimism. My feeling is that America won't be so fundamentally different in the future from where we are now.
It'll just limp on it.
It'll just kind of, we're already on like a kind of a bad path, but maybe we can change it. I agree. Determinism is for wimps. Losers.
Right.
But what there's a difference between a conservative optimist and a conservative pessimist.
That's okay.
Conservative pessimist says things can't get any worse. And a conservative optimist says, oh, yes, they can.
Oh, yes, they can. That's great. Yes, I remember that. It's big, like, late Western Roman Empire hours. Like, 2050 is small.
That's nothing compared to
the, like, horse. We could elect a horse as a senator. We could do any sort of thing.
We may have.
We got to answer some of these questions.
Okay.
Ooh, good. Stoicism is compatible with Christianity. Yeah, okay.
Go on.
I mean,
it's, you got me right.
It's a hard. It's another one of these hard questions because Paul reaches for the Stoics almost more than any other. I mean, that I don't have like a tally, but I feel like he's more into the Stoics than any other Greek philosopher. Mm-hmm. And John, the prelude to John's gospel in the beginning was the Word, is obviously in some deep consonance with Stoic metaphysics.
Yep.
But Stoicism, full stop, is incompatible with Christianity, right? It's the cyclical notion of time, this whole thing that like the soul dissolves into atoms, like, or whatever the soul's made out of, right? That's incompatible. But I think Stoicism is one of the most easily baptizable and most frequently baptized forms.
I noticed a lot of kind of tech bros and Silicon Valley types got really into Stoicism in the last 10 years or so.
Yep.
And I think that is not contrary to what I see as a Christian revival. I think it's sort of part of the Christian revival. But yes, ultimately, the two are not.
I just wrote this whole, we're coming out with this new introduction to the Stoics, Gateway to the Stoics. We're just reprinting some old translations, but I wrote a foreword to it. So I did a lot of this, like, you know, I went on the Reddit forum for Stoicism, which is huge. I mean, like,
who doesn't? Yeah, right, every night, you know, right before bed.
I know. You think you're joking, but it's like 500,000 people are on it. Like, these Reddit bros be like, you know, scrolling through Epictetus, you know, and they talk about this stuff. And I did find a lot of this kind of, it's sort of like Christian atheism, you know, it's like, I like the thing that this delivers, but I don't want to like bite the bullet about the metaphysics of it. And so I did find a lot of people being like, well, you can't really talk about gods anymore, but, you know, it's like, well, look, I mean, the things that appeal about Stoicism are all things that, you know, we come to us from through Christianity, like all men are brothers, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, so who's their father, right? All men are brothers, who's the dad, right?
Oh, we all brothers,
right. Exactly. I mean, it's not literally true, so something must be spiritual about that, and it must be real.
Yeah.
And I do think there's like a temptation among these people to be like, oh, I got Stoicism, now I have a philosophy.
Now we're good.
Yeah.
It's like, you think Titus is epic, you know, just wait until you discover John.
Yeah, let me tell you about somebody called John of Patmos. Like, a little something. Yeah, exactly.
It's okay to be white is a racist statement.
Oh, this is too easy.
No, I'm joking. All right, you white supremacist. That's not racist.
We're going to get kicked off of YouTube.
We are for this. I know.
No, I think
it's
not
like
only...
I'm sitting across with Kanye here. He's such a white supremacist, you know.
You just called me a Jew. I don't know. I mean, not only is it okay to be white, not a racist statement, but calling it a racist statement is how you end up with actual white supremacists.
Yeah, right. Because at a certain point, I think, you know, I'm truly as open-minded, sort of. I don't get angry. I'm like the only guy in the conservative movement, probably other than you, who doesn't get angry.
We were just talking about this backstage. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I don't think about race almost ever.
Right.
But I think, you know, if you just come up to me and you say, like, it's not okay to be white, you know, I think, like, well, all right.
Yeah, nobody would have ever had to, like, you know, it would have been completely ungentlemanly.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago for me or anybody to be like, go out there and pump my fist and be like, it's okay to be white, right? Like, that would just seem uncouth, you know? And so, naturally, I think you and I both are fairly affable fellows, you know? We don't want to, like, go out here carrying signs that say things like, you know, men are men, you know? Like, nobody wants to be... I have better things to do with my time and more interesting things to say. But, like... but if you're going to call it into question, then, you
guess do. I got to say it.
Right.
I mean, I know. I know.
So, okay.
Oh, we should drink to that.
We should. Amen.
Yeah.
Cheers.
That's right.
All right. My turn, right?
Your turn.
Okay. These are great. Libertarians. You guys did a great job.
Good job, Bruce.
Yeah, well done, everybody. We need to talk about grammar, but we'll get to that later. Libertarians are basically communists who either shower or don't live off their parents. That's the whole thing.
Well, fair enough.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Are you going to make me drink for that or no? We obviously agree.
Oh, man. I feel like I have to make you drink just to be, like, nice. But.
Yeah, we're all friends. Look, some of my best friends are libertarians.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, truly.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Some of my best friends are fat. Some of my best friends are fat libertarians.
But.
Yeah.
The statement is correct.
I mean.
The statement's correct because the libertarians and the communists, I think, ultimately share the same view of anthropology. Ultimately, they believe that men are fundamentally individuals born primarily in as much as we have a political life with rights and entitlements. And the commies say we're all individuals, and then they bunch us all up together in their sort of hideous collective. The libertarians just don't get to that next stage. But both of them reject the reality of man,
who
is not merely an individual, but as a social being, as a political animal born into a family, in time and space, into a community, into a nation, with, I think, primarily duties and obligations and traditions. And he has rights and things too, but that's not the primary fact of his political nature.
This is a great argument, and it's making me understand, I think, what my answer to this question is. Solzhenitsyn. Sorry, Dostoevsky.
I have Jordan Peterson on the show?
Yeah, right, exactly. Dostoevsky, in the narrator in Brothers Karamazov, very early on, says socialism is just the Tower of Babel project.
Yeah.
Done for real. The effort to bring heaven down to earth.
Yep.
And I think this is an extremely apt statement, and you are basically saying libertarians and communists have the same fundamental idea about human personhood, which is that we are interchangeable widgets. And even though libertarians don't chase this to its logical conclusion, that is the Tower of Babel project. Let us all have one language, one place, one, you know, like just the total uniformity follows on from the idea of the individual as seemingly autonomous, but actually just kind of empty, right? Just, consumer A, consumer B. And so my answer is actually, I think, going to be the same as my answer about Stoicism, which is to say Stoicism alone cannot save. Libertarianism alone is, you know, as like a totalizing philosophy of the world, is basically the metaphysics of communism. But I know a lot of people who have libertarian like ideas and leanings about how we should operate within a constrained sphere who are not really who think that libertarianism is like an operating system that you can run within an already existing computer called America.
Yes.
And the critique of libertarianism is, well, that computer is like now completely, has gone
fried.
Viral. Yeah, it's totally fried, in part because of like an excess of classical liberalism and so forth. So, I don't think you have to drink, but go on.
Yeah, okay, but I'll drink anyway.
But right, why not, in fact. Your turn.
Okay, and by the way, Spencer, I'm going to give you a little show business right now. They're telling me in my ear that they split this question into two cards.
I feel like I got the backstage pass.
You got it. This is how it really works around here.
Are they giving you like directives?
They are. They always are. They're speaking when I have an earpiece in and when I don't.
This is all those conspiracy theorists are going to, on Twitter, they're going to.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. Realist.
Yes.
Conspiracy scholars, shall we say.
We are being conditioned so that before the 2024 election, there will be a transgender version of George Floyd, along with the subsequent protests and social unrest.
Knowles, this is a fun game. I like this
game. I love this game.
Yeah, people should buy this game.
It's a great game to get at home, by the way. I don't know how much it costs or when you're going to get it, but it is going to sell out, so you actually should.
Pre-order it, right? I did that just because you let me plug my book. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
They're gonna call this, they'll call it grift, but really it's just friendship. Okay, so there will be a transgender version of George Floyd.
Yeah.
You've already put my drink.
I say no.
Oh my gosh.
I say you say.
You say I
don't know what
no.
I say. Or you don't know what I say.
I don't know what you say. I don't think you know what you say either. For that matter.
Half the time.
I create your answer by moving your martini.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
It's
there's like 12 of them, and I know that they're trying to groom the kids now, so it's
right.
Like 20% plus of Gen Z, according to that one random survey.
Right.
Questioning and everything, but no, it doesn't.
There's a lot
work.
Of kids out there who think they're transgender. That's
yes.
a very different thing
yeah.
from like, yeah.
Also, it's just race is the line in America that actually has been an issue from the earliest days of the country.
Right.
Whereas this new gender fad is simply that.
There were no transgender plantations.
Yes.
There was not like an actual crime against humanity like embedded into our history vis-a-vis transgender people.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas you're right. Like the whole thing about race in America is that they're actually grabbing on to something truly awful, happened. Traumatic in our past. Yeah. And the other aspect of this is it's too specific. It's like, you know, it's a little tinfoil hat. But I certainly think if they could, they would. I mean, the version of this that's kind of, that is real is, and this, we're going to get banned for like 5 different reasons off of YouTube. This is the end of this show. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. I had a good run.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It sold some games. No, the version of this that is real is the, like, transgender people are being murdered en masse in the streets, right? They kind of have this line that goes on, and that is created to, and also, if you don't pump your kid full of hormones, they'll commit suicide.
You've killed your kid.
Right. They totally hold you emotional hostage with all of these things, which are lies, right? These are not true things. But no, I don't think they can fabricate out of nothing. I mean, I don't think they fabricated George Floyd out of nothing, you know, like, so no.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll drink anyway.
Yeah. Why not? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I like the start. I like where this is going. 95% of our political issues in America would be solved if benching 225 pounds was a requirement to vote.
Yeah. I agree. You know, I remember one time, maybe it was Ann Coulter, said we need to repeal the 19th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she said it more than one time.
Sure.
But I was talking to Elisa about this. And Elisa, this was early on in our sweet little Elisa and my dating life. And she goes, oh my gosh, that's crazy, you know, come on. What? And I sort of thought, and I said, well, what's the point of voting? Because what you are being asked right now, you sweet little Elisa, would you give up your vote to have a better political outcome?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of it and I said, because women vote for Democrats and men vote for Republicans. It's more complicated than that. But basically that's what
it is. Right.
And I thought, well, young people vote for Democrats and older people vote for Republicans. So if you told me tomorrow, Michael, the only people over 50 get to vote,
right?
Would I agree to that? I absolutely would agree to that. I'd lose my vote.
Right, right.
But I'd have a better political outcome for my community. Now, I'm not saying I can't bench 250 pounds.
No.
But
right.
If it were a risk that I couldn't,
hypothetically, universe where you're not putting up 3 plates for reps.
Yeah, like a big beefcake.
Like a big dude. Yeah, right, exactly.
I would still go for it because it would have a better outcome for my political community.
Yeah. This body by lasagna. Well, okay, so I am in favor of voting. I mean, I am not a like everybody must vote, you know, like
lower the age to 5.
Yeah, exactly. Twice, in fact, if you know, if possible. So I think, you know, I've heard good arguments for, like, you should own land to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think the question was, would our political outcomes be improved?
Yes.
And the answer to that question is certainly yes.
Totally.
The other question behind it is, should we therefore do it? And I'm enough of a lib to say just because you get better outcomes doesn't mean
it's won't get it. There is no mechanism
we're not gonna
within
do
politics
this.
To actually do it. But yes, would... If only Giga Chads voted, would we have better political outcomes?
Yeah.
I just think that's a statistical fact.
Even lib Jim Bros are way more reasonable than lib, like, couch potatoes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay.
Easy.
We can think anyway. I'm up. There is at least a 51% chance JFK was not killed by the communist Lee Harvey Oswald.
51?
51% chance that he was not killed by Oswald. I think he was killed by hate.
There is an the real epidemic.
The real epidemic. Yeah, exactly. No, he was killed by Oswald, I think. Do the people who, like, I know there was just this release where Tucker did a whole segment where he essentially said that the CIA was involved in the JFK killing, but, and there are all these files from the CIA and their relationship with Oswald that was sort of, have not come to pass. But even still, does anybody say that Oswald
didn't pull the trigger? I am not up on this conspiracy theory. This is like, I'm into the moon ones. I'm into a few, you know, like, I mess around with some of those.
Yeah.
But like, this is one that kind of bores me because, yeah, I sort of think he did pull the trigger. I don't think anybody thinks it was like Grover. Like,
right, like a right. Yeah, it wasn't just LBJ sitting on the knoll. As he might have celebrated.
He would have been delighted.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, all right, okay. That's good.
All right.
It's the only conspiracy theory that we
This is a good one. The Respect for Marriage Act is neither respectful nor about marriage.
Respect for Marriage Act is neither respectful nor about marriage. So we're saying yes, it is not respectful or about marriage.
That's right. If you agree that it is not about neither of those things, you should say yes. I was going to say no, and now that you've said that, I think maybe I do think yes. Okay, don't drink, and we'll explain the sides of this, I think. Because...
Well, I'm going to drink anyway.
Are you? Right, right. First of all, did I get it right?
Do you think I would say it is not about respect or marriage. I don't think
Oh, so I also have to...
You have to drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, because I was thinking you would say, well, it is about marriage.
It's about
destroying
marriage. But the people who pushed it, the libs who pushed it, I don't think they give a damn about marriage, and I don't think they want to respect people. I think they want to drive Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop out of business. And they tried to do it through the court, and the court wouldn't let them do it. And so now, and they take the Obergefell decision, which redefines marriage, and they go further than that. And they say, no business.
Right.
No wedding website maker, no cake shop owner, whatever, is allowed to not participate in a gay marriage.
Totally. And I think this is, that interpretation of it's not about marriage is definitely correct. You know, I think it's nominally, obviously, about marriage. But I agree that, and I've gotten a little red-pilled on this way. The moment is when they rejected the Lee Amendment, which basically just said in the like kind of gentlest possible terms, perhaps you
might object
constitutional to sue not even an organization but an individual out of existence because they express. And so, I agree with you about Obergefell. I mean, we're on the same page, I think, about that. And I think that, you know, when the bill first came up, I thought, well, I truly believe that when it comes to, like, some sort of place in society for freedom-loving gay people, like, we can work this out. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll call it floof, we'll call it whatever. Like, there's some arrangement that makes sense that recognizes that a man and a woman producing children is at the center of our civic life, is marriage, but there are these arrangements that kind of still have a place in our society. I think there's, like... I really believe there's room for a
which is
good,
the,
reasonable.
That is the sort of Jonathan Peugeot.
Yes.
He made this point on another conversation we were having where he said, you know, if you look at medieval manuscripts, there are all these kind of odd and eccentric things all around the corners of the page.
The marginalia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're not at the center of the universe.
No, you wouldn't want the guy who's like farting a demon out to be I'm not making that up. No, but I think this is right, and I think that, you know, anybody sensible of any political persuasion. And so I thought, well, maybe there is some Obergefell is not that. And that's why I dispute it, not because of its outcome, but because of its logic is not that. It's the logic of the, we talked about this before, the total all is the same.
Yes.
You define reality. A man and a man in a relationship is the same as a man and a woman in a relationship. I think you can believe a man and a man in a relationship is okay. You can believe it's not okay, but you can't believe it's the same.
Nobody
as a man is
seriously believes.
Nobody
it's
can
same,
believe that,
right?
Because that means that men and women are the same. So they're not the same, right?
Yeah.
And so when they rejected little Mr. Lee, who is like, maybe you might like to not sue people out of business. Then I was like, okay, so you're just totalitarian.
Yes.
And so, yeah, my basic answer is like,
crush.
Yes.
Yeah,
right,
I know,
right.
I know.
I'll sell you one other thing about that, Bill, and then I guess we have to do another question. But
I guess. I don't know.
These are too interesting. Yeah. The other thing about that bill that suddenly occurred to me is that all of these things where they were going to codify Yeah. Because we found out that actually you can't just write things in. If you just write things into law via the courts, you can actually unwrite them.
Uh-huh.
And this whole, it was this absurd thing that they did where it was like precedent. You can't overturn precedent. It's like, where does, what? Like,
yeah,
where
you did you get can't overturn that? Precedent like Plessy. Like,
no, Plessy, right, Plessy, this is settled law. Like, you know, right, you don't want to do that. So they found this out and they were like, well, what we really need, therefore, is a bill to codify. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have a news for you about Congress. Like, every 2 years, like, we vote in new people. And it's like, if they ever did overturn Obergefell, yeah. which I think they should do, and I think we should relitigate this question. If they ever did that, like, you just vote on another bill.
Yeah. So it's like, you can do it. You don't need the permission of the Supreme Court
right.
to pass a bill.
To pass
a
right. Yeah. Everybody wants, on all these questions, abortion, on gay marriage, everybody wants some cataclysmic victory that is we're not going to have to think about it because one side won. That ain't politics in America. Like, we are having this, let us have the damn discussion.
Yeah,
anyway, that's
right. Okay. Yeah, very good point. Mm. I'm glad we both drank on it, even though I can't remember
what we said. I can't, that's the point of the drinking.
Skipping leg day is a lot like attending a liberal arts college and staying committed to your cheating girlfriend. In both cases, you are throwing your life away while also acting like a butter-soft simp who just hopes things will work themselves out.
Did they make these, like, more and more extravagant?
I don't think it's merely my perception.
No, it's not.
There's so much in that question.
I'm not even going to try to parse it. I'm just going to take the spirit of it. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is, I was going to say, this is, like, pretty self... but
I call it like I see it. I like to think I'm quite unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Even when my personal interest or ego are challenged by
hypothetically,
something.
Hypothetically, in Minecraft. Calling balls and strikes.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you're big into neutrality.
I'm a big neutrality guy.
Michael Knowles, famous neutrality enjoyer. Average neutrality enjoyer. Oh, boy. Generally speaking, if Protestants were to accept a tenet of Catholicism, either the Immaculate Conception or purgatory, it's more likely it would be purgatory. There are a lot of Protestants in the world.
There are a lot of Protestants.
Difficult question.
Yes, yes. Many shades.
Yes.
Some say 30,000.
Some might say that's a strike against Protestantism in the great schismatic debates, but that's a separate question.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's very hard for many Catholics to accept the Marian dogmas, to even accept that Mary has a really important place in the faith. For me, I was an atheist for 10 years. I came back into the faith in many ways through Protestants, some of whom now are Catholic, actually, interestingly, or reverted to Catholicism. But even for me, even well into it, the Marian stuff was tough for me.
Yeah.
And now I find it so enriching and edifying and sanctifying and like really central.
Yeah.
If not perfectly central, like quite close to it.
That's right. I mean, this Protestant would take Mary before purgatory, although I'm open to both. I'm kind of like both of them, you know.
Yeah.
I'm an average Mary enjoyer, and I think like, but the reason that the correct answer to this is yes, is that people are ready, they'd be out there ready to restart the 30 years war over this question. I mean, if you talk to people, they will be like, they're Catholics, they are the idolaters because they have another God and she's a woman and whatever.
They worship Mary.
They worship Mary, right. No, you need, I mean, there is, C.S. Lewis says that what is beyond time and space is so male that in relationship to it, we are all female. This is true, this is beautiful, and it is right and just that the representative of humanity and man's relationship to God should be a mother and a woman. That's the beauty of the doctrine. I disagree about the perpetual virginity. There's also, but yes, that I would go with that first, but I think most people would take
that. That's great. But on the next game, we'll
talk about marriage
and virginity.
Yeah,
but that's, but it is, I do remember, when you got Mary-pilled and as you became increasingly Mary-pilled, it is harder. It's purgatory. Some of my Protestant, you know, they don't like it, but they can kind of see more of it. But we'll have to do a whole yes or no game on Mary.
On Mary, so, I think the doctrinal questions.
It's me, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sisyphus is rolling a boulder toward the Grand Hilbert Hotel. The hotel has an infinite number of rooms, but they are full, so they may not be able to accommodate him or his boulder. If he chooses to divert his boulder, it will instead destroy the ship of Theseus. But the ship has had all of its constituent parts replaced, so it may not actually be the same ship. Is Sisyphus happy?
I think I know. Did people send these questions in? Or did the producers just write them?
I think the producers just write them.
Wow. I feel like I know exactly who asked this question, but I must be wrong. It's too late in the game to answer this question in a serious way. Also, no.
He's pushing a boulder
he's
up.
Pushing
you know,
a
that's
boulder.
Not, you can't be
Sisyphus
happy.
Sisyphus is not happy. Right,
yes. Not happy. Sisyphus is not happy.
There will be no existentialism sympathy on this here podcast. We will not accept even
not
iota.
Your no.
Stoicism,
yeah.
Libertarianism, yeah. Fat people. We can entertain all of these possibilities, but existentialism is a bridge too far. You get your dirty Camus out of here.
It's out. It's
Dirty Camus.
I can't believe you brought up the C word.
It's a good name for a band, Dirty Camus. If I had to pick between pre, mid, and post-tribulation, oh, I hate this whole thing. This is bad. I'm like the least Protestant Protestant.
Pre, mid, and post-tribulation.
Am I going to have to
speaking Greek? I don't know what
exactly.
You're talking about.
I tend to side with the Left Behind movie take and think rapture would be pre-tribulation.
That sounds to me much more complicated than the Sisyphus question.
It's vastly more complicated. And this is a series of questions. Whatever. But do your answer and then I will
sure.
go on my
Well, I got to move yours.
That's the wrong one. I'm sorry.
So... I don't even know what the question was.
I'm going to say no because, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, sure. Why not?
Whatever.
Okay. I'm being the worst Protestant here because this is like, especially for evangelical Protestants, this is a matter of utmost concern. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people ask me about this.
Like, this is about the end times. And...
It's about the end times. It's about whether the thousand-year reign is going to be, I'm going to get this so bungled, but it's about whether... Like the lake of fire and the thousand-year reign, like when is Christ coming in between? Like when does Christ actually come back?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happens after that? What happens before it? To me, this is a question on which we are expressly told. We have no idea.
No one knows the day or the hour.
No one, not even the Son, but only the Father in heaven. And so I find all of this to be vastly above my pay grade. I think the book of Revelation is a profound mystic vision, which if read carefully, it's like people always say, is the tribulation, is the revelation, whatever, is it about the sacking of the temple in, you know, by the Romans after Christ's death, or is it about some cosmic thing? And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Like, you know, there are real historical events that this refers to and those historical events.
Is the book of Revelation a mystical description of the Holy Mass?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, it is. Right. And so all of this simply to say, like, stop worrying about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. Okay. Let's drink anyway.
Let's drink to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You read The Tribulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Science is fake and gay.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, right? Didn't you give a little speech about this? I remember seeing that. Yeah. I mean, I've recently been a little bit like libbed on this in that what I really think is fake and gay is scientism. Mm-hmm. And I think that natural philosophy is a venerable thing to do.
Yes.
And I think that people who, but.
I didn't say any of these, but.
Natural philosophy. The
thing, I would never say natural philosophy is fake and gay.
I think most of the time, what people mean when they say science is a thing that is fake and gay.
Yes.
And that is scientism.
Easy. Good.
Yeah, yeah. The referent of the word science. The understood referent. Oof, it is okay to wear sweatpants in public.
It's very hard when one does not go to the gym to understand the thinking of one who does go to the gym.
What are you saying? Are you saying you don't?
Hypothetically.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting here in my t-shirt with a man in a suit. No, I think...
But you're not wearing sweatpants.
That's right. I'm not wearing sweatpants. The question hinges on the meaning of the word in public. So I think I'm going to make you drink because I will sweat. Okay. I wear sweatpants to the gym.
You were correct on my end.
Yeah. Would you wear, if hypothetically you were to go to the gym, would you wear sweatpants to
Spencer,
the gym?
I would not wear sweatpants in private.
No, you would wear a bow tie to the gym.
I would. Mm. Yes. I can't. No, I wouldn't count the gym as in public. I mean, I'm saying, you know,
right, that's
when walking down the street, I would not. But there was a period where the Daily Wire was going to make a movie, and I was told to beef up for this.
Oh,
this movie.
I remember. You remember. When I said body by lasagna, I wasn't kidding.
No,
I
this is
you
true.
Eating all
I
the,
was
yeah, yeah.
shoveling pasta, pizza, meat, all this stuff. And I really did gain, 20 pounds, and I cut my body fat in half. So it was actually muscle. I never actually cut but I
No, you did it, bro.
I remember.
First time in my life.
Only mm-hmm. time in my life. Mm-hmm. And I did purchase a pair of sweatpants for the occasion and a pair of sneakers also to wear.
Yeah.
And they have not had much use since then.
Did you, when you put them on, did you scream, Adrian?
I tried to break my nose a few times so that it would look convincing. Okay. Most likely, the elites at the top, such as Bill Gates, George Soros, and Klaus Schwab, are all just possessed by demons and or directly worship the devil in an attempt to transcend the human race and merge with their existence in a higher plane. Due to YouTube rules, make your guess, but do not verbally confirm if the other person guessed correctly. Give only an ambiguous nonverbal confirmation. Gates, Soros, and Schwab all worship demons or are possessed by demons.
I feel afraid to speak. I think I've just signed some sort of
don't speak.
Terms of service.
I won't speak.
Can we talk about it? Do we just
can
have
talk
to,
about the things?
In the abstract. In the abstract. In Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell a little story.
Mm-hmm.
When Dobbs came down as an actual decision, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, I saw on Reddit in a Satanist forum somebody struggling with whether or not to convert to Satanism. And one poster said, Satanism isn't really about worshiping Satan. It's just about bodily autonomy and privacy. It's really enlightenment virtues. And I thought, boy, do I have news for you. and that's my only answer to that question. It's my
very good answer.
All right.
Very good answer.
The war in Ukraine is roughly 5% crazy Russians and 95% money laundering for the New World Order. I have to think what you say. You are right.
Yeah, you have to drink.
I
don't think it's money laundering for the New World Order. I think it's an imperial war between the Western Empire and the Eastern Empire of Russia. And I think that the West is dishonest when they say it's about national independence for Ukraine. That's obviously absurd. It's about getting Ukraine to join NATO and the broader Western alliance. And that's why when there was a pro-Russian leader of Ukraine before 2014, we wielded our political power, as great powers do, to influence the politics in that country and oust the pro-Russian guy and put in a more favorable pro-Western guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russia responded to that by increasing its influence operations, including military operations in Ukraine. And then Obama, because he was weak, wasn't able to stop that. And Trump was able to stop these things. He was able to at least put a pause on them. And then Biden essentially invited Russia, actually invited Russia to invade when he said, if it's only a minor incursion in the East, then we won't really do anything about it. And so Russia did that. And Russia said, it's unacceptable for Ukraine to join NATO. And Ukraine is a buffer state. And buffer states often do better when they play great powers off of one another than when they declare an allegiance to one or the other. That's often the proximate cause of war. And I think that's what happened in Ukraine.
All those beautiful towers. No, that's very eloquently said. I think people misunderstand this, the transgender question is like this too. I think people misunderstand how the New World Order works. And I think you see this with COVID as well.
Yeah.
That, oh, it's the pandemic, or they engineered this in a lab to, they're nowhere near competent enough to orchestrate these massive global events. What's true is that they have a totalizing philosophy about how the world works, which is anti-human, which is, you know, post-human in some ways, which is evil and wrong, and which inclines them to respond. The only thing restraining that philosophy is circumstances. The fact that we live in a country which is still nominally a constitutional republic, to which politicians must still pay some form of lip service in order to succeed and so forth, that held them back for however many years from saying what they already believed long ago about public health. It's not like COVID brought into being some new attitude about public health, right? And in fact,
it barely brought into being a new virus.
I mean, exactly.
It's just a variation on an old virus.
Exactly. And so similarly, nobody orchestrated the war in Ukraine to launder money. The war in Ukraine happened for a number of reasons, among them those that you just laid out. And it is the case that our leadership class is feckless, incompetent, and foundationally, philosophically wrong about metaphysics, which makes you evil. Being wrong about metaphysics makes you evil, even if you don't sit there with your hand, rubbing your hands together.
Right, anyway. Right. Good point. Am I up or you?
Oh, sorry, it's you.
I'm up.
It's you.
Okay. They are pervasive and key pillars of some of the most influential and wealthy brands in America. They strike at the very heart of American civilization and must be eradicated from society if the West is to have a fighting chance at survival. But to mention them is to be looked down upon with derision and contempt. By they and them, I mean seed oils. Wow. I was a little nervous, fellas.
Yeah.
A little nervous.
Definitely, yes.
Duh.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
Come on.
At this point...
Does this need defending?
Yeah. At this point, I believe that one's view of seed oils is far more indicative of one's entire political outlook and whether or not I agree with a person than their view on immigration or whatever, right?
Yeah,
it is one of the most defining political issues, even though it seems somewhat out of left field.
Yeah, these are way deeper signifiers. And this is like a generational thing that you have a hard time explaining to older people because it's...
It is definitely more of a millennial...
Yeah, yeah. This is why you get... It's not because boomers are like stupid or wrong. But it's like, you know, they say things like, you don't believe in like unfettered free markets. Like you must be... Because like that was once... Yeah. That was once seed oils. Like that was once the like signifying issue.
But the seed oil thing, I'm totally.
Totally, and I get more pushback on this than anywhere, but also more engagement. Like, people are really...
Do you know how crazy Elisa's gotten with this, sweet little Elisa? She says to me, I mean, she's going down the rabbit hole. No plastics in the house, and... Wow. Well, I mean, there's plastics, but not with our cooking that we heat up, and no seed oils. It's all butter or avocado or olive oil, which I think are much tastier anyway. But then she goes to me, she says, Mac! What? You gotta get rid of your right guard deodorant. And because I have, I'm an old man, so I use the spray aerosol deodorant.
Sure.
Yes, Mac, you gotta get rid of that. It's pure poison, Mac. Like, okay, what do I have to do? She goes, I got this deodorant that you gotta try. It's made of, and I kid you not, it's made of grass-fed beef tallow.
I was gonna say yak butter, and I wasn't far off.
You were not far off. Yeah. You were too timid. Yes.
Right.
Do you know? So I said, how much does this cost? I'm still on my first bottle.
Oh, no.
And probably my only bottle. I said, how much did you pay for this?
Is that what this is? Is that, I've been wondering.
That's what you're, yeah. This beautiful musk.
This is
aromatic.
Sort of natural. Yeah, right.
I said, how much did you pay for, how much did I pay for this? She goes, I don't want to tell you. I said, how, what was it? Was it, because my right guard is like $3. I said, was it like $5 or $6?
No. 10? No.
$22. And I think, do I really want to live that bad? Do I want to live $22 yeah. bad? I don't know. I shave a few years off my life. I save $22.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's
how much
a fine
do you
deal.
Care about the yeah. ozone layer, Michael?
Yeah, if I'm in a state of grace, I'll get to go to heaven eventually. Yeah, I need honestly, a million or two right. years in purgatory.
No, I think this is a million years in purgatory. You know, it's like yeah. this or that. that is hilarious. And the question is not, are our foods killing us? The question, as you say, is how much are we willing to do about it? Now, I remember when this was a crunchy granola lib thing, and now it's like a
totally
hard wing white nationalist. Like
anti-vax used to be a crunchy granola lib thing.
Yes.
Now it's a total
now
conservative.
It's right. It just depends on my biggest conspiracy theory. I'm going to say this the first time I'm saying this on camera, but I've said this to a lot of Daily Wire guys. You and I will live to see the day when nicotine is good for you. When the health industry
your mouth to God's ears,
yeah, amen, yeah. amen. Oh, dang! Speaking of conspiracy, this is my big conspiracy theory. I don't know how to pronounce. I refuse to learn.
Yeah. The fact that you just said that, I bet I could tell you.
Do you know what it's going to be? Guess.
If it's your, this is your.
This is my personal proprietary conspiracy theory.
Does it have to do with a certain secretary?
It does.
Transfer. Okay.
It certainly does. Somebody knew. First of all, I still don't know, and I refuse ever to learn how to pronounce the name that begins this question. Chasten Buttigieg is most likely aware Pete is a deeply closeted, straight CIA plant. I mean,
duh.
Obviously. Yeah. How could they do it without his consent?
This is actually the first and maybe only time I've heard this is from you.
Oh, yeah. Nobody else. This is my, I'm actually.
Buttigieg is not gay. That's your theory.
This is my theory. I will almost never claim ownership over. If I see an idea that I think maybe somebody got this from my piece, whatever. This is one that I will die on this hill. Mm-hmm. I invented this, but I'm sure I'm right. That man is not a homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an opportunist.
Yes.
And
a cynic.
He understood that the way the wind was blowing, mm-hmm. you could never, as a kind of, you know, Ivy League, I don't actually know if he's Ivy, probably Ivy League.
I think he was a Harvard.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Ivy League,
yeah, you know, veteran, mm-hmm. JFK mold lib.
Yes.
Once he realized that was passing away and you had to check an identity box, what's the identity box you can check?
Yeah.
Easiest.
Yes.
Marry a man.
Now, do you have evidence for your theory? Other than his poor taste? The evidence? Yeah.
his incapacity to match his ties with his slacks? Like,
that's good evidence.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you, you know, because some of the audience might not know
yeah.
that we're college buddies.
That's right.
Going back to your freshman year, my sophomore year.
When you said we've known each other, we've been friends for
many years. And but because we went to a very liberal elite school,
yes.
we know a lot of these guys.
We do.
A lot of these guys, and there's a type. Mm-hmm. And they all
look like Pete.
They all look like Pete. They all kind of, you know, they all just kind of sound like Pete. And they're going to go get a job after college because they're really passionate about management.
Totally consulting. Consultancy.
Know, I just really want to improve efficiency within certain corporate structures.
This is a very good impression.
And then he goes and he is a military veteran.
Yes.
And he did the Ivy League and he did the corporate consulting and he's just the perfect political candidate, except old Pete is a pretty bland white guy.
Yeah.
And so you're saying he had to have something. And I
don't understand why it's more artificial than any other part of his personality for him to pretend to. You know what I mean? Like, all these guys are cooked up in a lab. Mm-hmm. They, you know, carefully curate, as we know from mm-hmm. you know, rubbing shoulders with them, they carefully curate every aspect of their life, including their disavowal of the curation, right? Like, including, like, oh, I'm so passionate about, like, you know, synergistic incentivization of like,
spreadsheets,
birth control in Africa, whatever, like, name it. But then they get into power, and they, right, and, like, that pipeline was so clear.
Yeah.
that he wasn't going to let a little thing like being a heterosexual stop him. No, like, I'm no look, way. Look, for the right price, you yes. know, I'm whatever sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's right. like, it was better than like castrating himself and being the first trans candidate. You know?
Lucky Pete, he yeah. came along you and know, just 5 years, just in time. Just,
because let me tell you, yes. that gate is closing on white gay men. Like, you know,
it's like, yeah, it's about to be part of
yeah, right.
the established power class.
Exactly.
So, do we know who won? I think we both won, Spencer.
I feel that I won, and I think
Chin, you probably did.
Mm. Mm. No, I mean, by being here.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. We, but you're right. We
Cheers
both
to
did.
That.
I'm a little ashamed of us because we've gone out many times, had many, many cigars, many, many. We only had. You had your full drink. I'm a little child here. I only had half of my.
Well, we were so engaged in.
You're right.
The profundities.
You're right. That's true. Spencer,
Fantastic.
You've
Cheers.
Already finished yours. Chin Chin.
Cheers to
your
that.
Health.
Yes.
We will see you next time on the Yes or No Game.
This show is brought to you by Helix Sleep. Sleep, especially as you get older, is so critical, but no two people sleep alike. That's why Helix offers several different mattress models, each designed for specific sleep positions and preferences. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and take their sleep quiz to find the mattress made for you. Whether you're a side sleeper, a stomach sleeper, a hot sleeper, or a cold sleeper, Helix has just the mattress for you. I took the Helix sleep quiz and was matched with a Helix Midnight mattress because I wanted a medium firmness and I sleep on my side. I am sleeping so much better on my new mattress. Don't want to take my word for it? Well, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Take the quiz and order the perfect mattress right to your door, shipped for free. It's so quick and fun to unbox, and you won't believe how well you'll sleep. All Helix mattresses come with a 100-night trial and a 10 or 15-year warranty. Helix even offers financing options and flexible payment plans. A great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and a free bedroom bundle for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. That's helixsleep.com/dailywire, code HELIXPARTNER20.